Well, like we said already, we don't really have anybody to speak today. And I certainly wasn't prepared. Oh, is Eric raising his hand all of a sudden? Oh, Elise is trying to get him to raise his hand. I've got something I have been thinking about that maybe we can spend a couple minutes on. And so let's make this as interactive as possible. Where do you get your strength from? Day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year. What really, truly drives your accomplishments? Any thought? Ben?
Someone talk, I can't remember where I heard the statement, but one of the biggest things for me when I eventually leave this world and enter the throne room of God is to kneel before him and to lay out saying, I used everything you gave me, and for him to finish the conversation saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. To me, that's like the ultimate thing right there.
Anybody else? Cindy? Well, we do from the standpoint, people online want to be able to hear.
I get my strength from God, but I actually have Bible verses on strength that I keep in my purse, and I read, and I try to, you know, say them to myself during the day to remind my, you know, speak the word of God, because I definitely need his strength. I don't have it of myself, but I get it from God, but I keep that in my mind.
Anybody else? Yeah, Scott, if you wouldn't mind watching the comments, because anybody online, if they have something they want to add, why, we'll interject that. I guess they're having a little bit tough time hearing, so we'll boost their volume a little bit for them. So when your day goes really well, do you like to share that with somebody? And who? Give me an example. Who's the first person you share it with? You just had a great day. Your husband, your spouse, your best friend.
I share it with my older sister.
All right, an older sister. It happens to be your roommate. Any others? Again, more best friends, right? Or friends, all right. All right, so you just had one of the worst days of the week, or the month, or maybe the year. Do you reach out to somebody? Your spouse again, all right. What about the best friend? Do you pick up the phone right away and say, I just had an awful day? All right. And God, yeah. You know, last week, Jeff started what may be a series on the one another, verses with one another in it. And I've been really, really thinking about that this week, because as we go through our ups and downs, who is this one another that we either share the good times with and or ask for help through the bad times? And it was really strange that the one another verses, the way that phrase come out last week, the book I'm reading right now by John Eldridge, the chapter I was in just in the last day or so, he phrased that exact same phrase. The one another verses. Look at how many there are. But the chapter he was talking about, or that he was, the topic he was in on this chapter, was more about our community as a church. The fact that there's some things that we just can't share with maybe our best friend if our best friend isn't part of this community. Is that true?
Yeah.
Have you ever, anybody run into that before? It's a little bit spiritual in nature, and your best friend isn't part of this community, and you need to talk to somebody, but that person maybe isn't going to understand. Have you run into that situation before? So now who do you turn to? Do you have another best friend that is in this community that you would turn to? You know, we are so blessed here with this congregation and our extended congregation. I don't know if you know the Wells. You know, we've gotten to know them over the last couple of years through, Eric and Evan Gentile. They're good friends with them. And they, you tend to attend, what's the name of the group? I'm going to screw it up. Yeah, the Assembly of Yahweh down in Eaton Rapids. So they're extended family, and they're going through some trials right now. Dad and husband, Bob, has leukemia and has been in and out of the hospital a lot. I know we've prayed for him quite a bit. Our families went through some pretty major, I'll say changes. I don't know if I want to use the word trials. In the last year or so, it certainly had its ups and downs. But for me personally, I don't know if it's felt like a trial the way I would define a trial. It's just been some really major changes for us. And quite honestly, through a lot of that, I've been somewhat quiet. I haven't shared it with everybody, or necessarily a lot of people. I've spent a lot of time with God on it. And then this week, something happened along with what Jeff kind of started last week, and then this book I'm reading kind of brought up, the fact that God isn't all that we need. What's the greatest commandment? And the second is just like it. And, you know, if you think about those, the second is a true reflection of the first. You can't do one without the other. There's no, it's totally impossible. If you don't love God with all of your heart, mind, and soul, you are not going to love somebody else with all of your heart, mind, and soul. Because you don't know how to love at that point. And if you don't love a human being with all of your heart, mind, and soul, you are not loving God with all of your heart, mind, and soul. He commands us to assemble with one another. And he tells us why. Can anybody else go back to that verse? I know I bring it up a lot. Anybody think of what verse? That's actually an R verse that's very similar.
If we read the next verse, it says, it's talking about the top
down. Yeah. We do. And I was actually thinking of Hebrews 10:24-25. Sebastian, can you throw that up? I believe so, yeah. There, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Go down to the next verse. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. But for the exhorting of each other, right? He said. So God says we are going to need exhortation from each other. and that we're that we need to give it out when time comes. And I certainly owe this congregation a huge apology for not sharing with them all that we've been going through the last year and a half, because quite simply, all of you have as a collective group could have been praying for us. And I know things would have been much smoother had that happened. And I'm not going to get into it today. At some point, we are going to talk about it. There again, I wasn't prepared to be standing up here today. But, you know, again, we're so blessed here locally over the last big handful of years, and in some cases just a couple of years, we have gotten to know each other extremely, extremely well, right? And are we really taking advantage of that? That we don't just show up here on a Saturday for a couple of hours and say, hi, how was your week? You know, how are things going? But do we get together much more than that? Kevin?
Something goes along with kind of what you're talking about. It was both Mandy and I were at a Bible study on Wednesday, and it was talking, he was talking about, Acts chapter 2, verses 40 through 47. And basically what that is a snapshot of the early Christian church, just how they lived and things like that. And one thing, we all broke into groups and analyzed different parts. And one person looked at one of the verses here. I believe it is verse, 44. And it says, now, talking about this early church, now all who believed were together and had all things in common. And I think that was really powerful, because when you look at it, like, this is the church. They were together, had everything in common. And then the whole idea of this, of the Bible study, was look at these verses, see how are you doing, and then come up with a tough question to ask yourself about this. And the question that came up from this verse was, do you know the body? We are all part of the body of Christ, and how well you know your own body and things like that. Do you know the body of Christ? And sometimes I look around, like, I don't know what you're struggling with or someone's struggling with. So it is a hard question to think about. How well do I actually know my fellow believers? And things. So I just think it fit really well, because when you look at what the church is doing and it's a model for what we should be doing. They were together. They had everything in common. They were there to support one another and do all of these things. Do we do that? Do we know the body?
Right, and do we go out of our way to do that? Scott, did you have? Or Lori, I guess, had something.
There's a comment on here that says, learning to take stressful moments to God on the spot, it causes a smile on my face to see him work right by my side. It does give one strength.
Yeah, something that Kevin brought up. You know, this week I've gotten to know my boss really well. We've worked together now for a little over 20 years, I think it's been. And he's not part of this belief system. And I'd shared some things with him, you know, more recently. And we're just kind of chatting the other day, and I could tell he held something back from me. And I stopped him. I said, no, tell me what you want to tell me. And that kind of doesn't matter. I said, no, I really want to know. And I could tell he held back because he was afraid of maybe hurting my feelings, maybe irritating me. And I stopped him and I said, you know, there really is nothing, we know each other well enough, there really is nothing that you're going to say that is going to hurt us. We may not agree, but it's not going to hurt us. So tell me what it is you want to say. And he really caught me off guard because he shared something with me I really needed to hear, and I hadn't heard it from anybody else yet. And it involved our struggles over the last year and a half. And I had shared that with a few people within this community, and all of them just kind of listened, and they didn't really give me any feedback. And more recently, I realized I really have been craving some feedback. Not knowing what the question was, maybe not even understanding what the answers might be, but I've just been craving some feedback. And all of a sudden, he gave me the feedback I needed. And I was a little bit disappointed, maybe even a little bit irritated, because some of the people I've shared that with within our faith that have a much deeper understanding of God's will or his plan should have given me that feedback quite a bit earlier, and they've been holding back. And again, I apologize because I've been holding back asking for help. But as much as we know each other, we're still holding back, aren't we? Carol.
When you said that, I was just really struck with how easily we overlook God's gifts at times. And there's a gift in there, I think. Obviously, I'm sure you appreciated the feedback that you got from your boss and you recognize that gift. But there's another gift in there. There's a gift that says, don't limit me. Don't, you know, I mean, God speaks to us in so many ways. And I know there's a comfort in interacting with people who understand, you know, the perspective that we have, or the worldview that we have, the particular approach that we have in our faith. But the language we use often, even though I feel like our hearts are opening a great deal, it often is very exclusive still. And we never know where God's working and whose heart he's softening and who he wants to connect us with. And I feel like part of this was, in this situation, was a gift to open up that sense of who our family might be, you know? I mean, I've had some similar experiences, and I feel like I am interacting with people of my faith a lot, but they're not always here, you know? And they may not have the same dogma or doctrine, but the presence resonates in the same way. Just a thought. Not a...
And I actually feel like I learned a couple of things. Last week, I felt God was really bending my ear to say, you know, we've been talking about my Holy Spirit, and I've been asking him to, you know, put that on me and show me how to utilize it, which means I have to listen. And last week, I felt like the lesson for me had been, are you listening to all the ways I talk to you? You're not. You've been kind of focused on these little areas over here. I talk to you over here too. And then this week, for that to happen between my boss and I, it really hit home that, you know what, I have to be paying attention all the time, because I don't know when God and his Spirit are going to say, Aaron, tap, tap, you listening? Here it is. The other thing, it was that I truly get my strength from my close spiritual friends. That's what keeps me going, so that when I'm out in the world and with those that don't have, I guess, the same belief system or any belief system at all at times, that I know I've got this group of friends that no matter what, are going to be there for me in one form or another, maybe even if it's just prayer. Scott?
We have a contribution from Robin Clary. She's talking about sharing with each other, and she writes, sometimes we hold back for a couple reasons, one being we don't want to hurt each other, and two, we don't want to be vulnerable. I think the first thing she said is interesting to me. We don't want to hurt each other. I can identify with that, feeling like I've got to hold back because I don't want to get other people involved in these problems, or feeling like that would be something selfish to get them involved when I know a lot of people that are genuinely interested in sharing that grief, sharing that burden, being deeply involved in my life, in each other's lives. So I can identify with that.
You're afraid of being hurt yourself or hurting other people?
Myself so much as not wanting them to be burdened by the same things I am. Not wanting to spread my burden around, which is kind of irrational, but that's still something I'm working on.
And I think that goes back to the relationship with my boss and I. We've known each other for 20 years, and we are good friends. If we would have met on the street, we would have gotten along. I don't think we would have become good, close friends. The fact that we have to spend 8 hours a day, 5 days a week with each other, we've had to become good friends. Or we've gotten to be, just from the standpoint, I've learned where he comes from. He's learned where I come from. I know what his buttons are and how to push them. But the same with me. And therefore, we've gained a very strong mutual respect for each other. And I think that's where the second commandment comes in, or the second greatest commandment comes in, that we need to love each other. It's not just simply, I love you, Carol. Hope everything's going well. No, it's a fact that we spend so much time together that we truly do love each other. That there's a look on your face today, something's not right. Would you share with me? You know, it has to be very intimate. That's what God wants, because that's what he wants us to be with him. He wants us to count on him for everything, to go to him for everything. Those moments when, wow, my day just went awesome. That state trooper didn't give me a ticket. Father, thank you so much, because that saved me a lot, and I understand. That few minutes before when Ben saw the red light, Father, I'm going to need some help. You know, Ben wasn't sitting in his car going, oh, crud, this is just going to make my life bad. There's nothing I can do about it now. Great. No, he was already in communication with God, saying, Father, I think I've screwed up, and I'm going to need some help, some consideration, whatever your will be. He was already with God, and that's what God wants us to be with each other. I know, Kristen, you had your finger up, I think.
I was going to say, I understand where Scott's coming from very much. I also have found some of the very same struggles, is that when it comes to my own personal life, I don't open up very much with even my church family because, you know, everyone has their own burdens. You know, I don't want to put mine on others, but something I found to help with that is I often pray beforehand when I realize it's something that might be something I need to open up about, something I need to not carry alone. And I say, you know, God, if this is not something I and you cannot hold alone, you want me to find someone to help carry this burden, you know, find me someone. And And then I kind of like throw out little crumbs. Like, I'm sure Heather probably knows about what that looks like by now because we'll be talking in the kitchen and I might mention a very small thing like, oh yeah, you know, my day was okay. And she, you know, a true friend who actually is looking to open up and is, you know, looking to be led by the Spirit, it's almost like God just kind of works through our spirits. You know, he says, say something to this person, or, you know, hey, you know that that did not sound like they were happy. Like, you better talk to them and delve into their life. And every time I've prayed about it beforehand, like, the right person has picked up my burden and carried it with me. Because I know that's really difficult. I know a lot of people that do not want to share their burden because it's a burden on someone else. But ironically, everyone, I mean, like, Heather's told me that before, you know, I don't want you to have to carry my burden. I'm like, no, Heather, I want to, you know, and like, we have to verbalize these things as a family.
And who else wants to carry our burden? Ben?
Agreed. I think Robin's comment also said we don't want to become vulnerable. Also, that comes into fear. Just because some of the things that some people do when, that they know is wrong and sin, if they open up to someone, it's judgment. They're afraid for some of those, sorry. So those judgmental eyes, like, why'd you do that? You know, that was dumb. You know, you hurt me because of that. Just all those things have gone through my mind in the past before I've opened up with people. And the more experience we have, whether it's positive or negative, I think that's going to dictate whether those walls go up more often or whether they go down. Personally, that's why I believe.
And, you know, one of the things that's hard for me, I can be fairly outgoing. I can be a little bit guarded every now and then, but for the most part, I'm fairly outgoing and willing to share. And so when I come across a person whose personality is fairly introverted, you know, much different than mine, I don't get it. It's like, come on, just say something, you know, tell me something, you know, what's going on? And they're not going to. And maybe they shouldn't have to. Maybe that's just simply for me to go up to that person and say, again, Carol, and Carol's not this type at all, but Carol, I see something on your face that's bothering you. If you really would rather not share it more at the moment, just know I'm going to be praying for you. That's all we need to do, right? And maybe at that point, maybe that's just enough of a little tiny trigger for Carol to say, okay, I'll tell you a tiny little bit. I'm not going to give you all the details, but kind of like Kristen and Heather, I'll give you just a tiny little bit because I don't want you to have all the burden. I'm going to give it all to God, but I'll give you just enough details so that you can pray even more effectively. You know, our group here, we do know each other very well, even if we don't see each other every week. But there's still a lot of cavities that need to be filled. And there's two seats that have been vacant for 2 weeks now. Does anybody notice that? Okay. Do something about it. You don't get pushy. You can make a phone call, send a text. You can simply pray about it. You know, and I'm sure there's things going on in this room that we don't know about. And it's because, Bill, I haven't really talked to you for a month or more, other than hi, how are you? You know, I need to be going up to Bill on a regular basis and say, really, how are things going? You know, what's the big accomplishment in your life in the last, you know, few months? What's been the thing dragging you down? You know, share with me a little bit. I'll share with you. You know, take 10, 15 minutes. Just go off to a corner by yourselves and really get to know that person again and find out what's struggling. I was at an event here a while back. It was an upbeat event. Everybody seemed to be having a good time. And I found out later on one person hadn't, through a phone call. And I was really miffed because it was like, I remember the event really well and it seemed like things went really good. Totally got blindsided by that phone call. But I started praying for that person. I don't know how well that's going to be affected, but I know it's going to be a positive effect. But along with my prayer for that individual, I also started asking God that when that individual comes in contact with any of us, show us how to respond to them. Because obviously I didn't know how to respond to them. I thought everything was hunky-dory. And it's not. That's kind of the thoughts I've had. Does anybody have any more? Or something totally even unrelated you want to talk about for a few minutes? Alan?
The fact that you were you started out talking about, the two greatest commandments, and the subject that you're talking about today, it struck me that in 2 Peter 1, there is a scripture that talks about, the progression of our development. And I'm going to read it here. It's 2 Peter 1 and verse 5. It says, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Now, what's very interesting about those is the order that they're in. Godliness is toward the end, and the last two things that show up are basically the two greatest commandments, brotherly love, and then when it just says love, the word is agape, which is godly love. And those two things are the end result of this progression. And I think it's interesting that I think this progression is not only the evolution of us individually, but it's also the evolution of the body of Christ, is that over the last 2,000 years, the bride is being made ready, and eventually you get to the point where, brotherly kindness becomes important. And as you learn brotherly kindness and you add to that, to everything else in increasing measure, then the greatest commandment starts to be fulfilled as well. We start to understand then what that really means. And I think it's just interesting that, in talking about this, which we've kind of touched on in the past, but in the relatively recent past, not 30 years ago, did we ever have discussions like this. The fact that we're beginning to discuss things like this and look at what it really means when the scripture talks about one another, we're beginning to be more outward in our looking at what is the intention of what God is trying to teach us to do. And I think that's very revealing, and we're beginning to understand it's very important. And I think that, the fact that you brought it up today almost extemporaneously is very good. As Hal Geiger said when he was here for the Days of Unleavened Bread weekend, we don't have to worry about planning who's going to talk about what, because we're all being led by the same shepherd. So, that's all taken care of already. But I just found it very, very interesting that this discussion and this scripture, which, I read just recently, really fits with the pattern. And it should. I mean, it shouldn't be divergent. So
I know, Kevin, you brought up the study from the other night, and I wanted to say something about the chapter I was in. What he was talking about, he really went back and focused on the very early church, and the fact that Christ and the disciples were how many? Small group, weren't they? When Paul wrote to the churches, a lot of times he said, in the home of. It was a home fellowship. You know, they were in somebody's home. It was a small group. And probably one of the reasons, I'll speculate, probably one of the reasons they were of like mind is because they spent a lot of time together as a very small group getting to know each other. And you know, and that's kind of what we've had here. And look how God is utilizing that. And I don't want this to sound like we're patting ourselves on the back, but, you know, 10 years ago, as a group, we struggled really hard to figure out what we could do externally for others, right? Do you remember that? We wanted to do some type of project, and we couldn't make it come together. And I think it's because God says, nope, you're not ready. And he just allowed us to do, well, actually over the last, I would say almost the last 18 months, some pretty big things. Last year we had the prophecy seminar. We invited people in. You know, now recently we had the Spring Holy Days. And I think that's because God says, you are somewhat ready now. But that doesn't, just because he said, all right, I'll give you a little bit, you know, now to do something with. Now he wants even more. In Hebrews, it says, as you see the last days approaching, it might be another 50, 100 years off, but they are approaching, and we see that. And things are getting harder every day. You know, we lost Liz last year. That was a tragedy. That was hard on us, but we got through it. That is not going to be the last tragedy this group has to survive. You know, we haven't had to go through a case where someone has stood up and said, I've been sinning and I need to share this with you. And it's a scary sin. Are we ready to wrap our arms around that person or kick them out the door? Well, I don't think I have anything more to ramble about, so if there's anything else, or there again, if somebody else has a different subject. Otherwise, we can sing a few songs and praise and worship God with all of our hearts, mind, and soul, right? And then we're going to spend a lot of extra time fellowshipping and getting...
I've been impressed while you were talking to share this, so I will share it. A couple of different things. The past year and a half, as Aaron shared, our family's gone through a lot. And I will have to say, I have actually felt the prayers of the saints. Yeah, your fellowship was praying for us, and different ones that don't, people in different parts of the country that don't know us. And when things got really intense, I have literally felt the prayers of the saints. So that does, you know, when you ever think, oh, I don't know if my prayers are really making any difference. They do. I felt Yahweh's presence in the past, and there many times, but literally feeling the prayers of the saints being lifted up by the body of Messiah. That was something that was just happened to me within the last year. The other thing I'd like to share was, you go up to people, and I'm an extrovert also, and you know, I like to, when people come to our fellowship, I'm one of the first ones to meet them and greet them, and we as a people have a, we sometimes make things common. hi, how you doing? How are you? And not always being ready to receive an honest answer from people. Hi, how are you doing becomes common. So I try to use that. I do use that as a greeting. When people ask me, hi, how are you doing? I will say I'm blessed. I am blessed, regardless of the trials that I'm going through. I am blessed. And the pastor's wife asked me about 2 weeks ago, how are you doing? And she already knows my answer. Oh, I'm blessed. She said, no, how are you really doing? And that was her door to me, that I had, she was willing to hear me, willing to let me unburden myself. Now, you were talking about burdening. Again, being careful with that, because I'm an extrovert, but also I'm an emotional person. And I have to be guarding myself, because her name's Connie, once Connie opened that door, the floodgates can start. So if you're willing to hear someone, be prepared, and then let yourself, you know, don't be afraid to unburden. Why you didn't get an answer from your spiritual family and let you get the answer from someone who's not part of the walk. It wasn't time. I don't know what's going on, but Yah's on time. Everything that happens, he's still ultimately in control. And so whatever your boss was supposed to say to you at that time, and it wasn't supposed to come from somebody here. And that happens with myself a lot. I try to listen. And I'll get answers when I, you know, in a store, or when I'm visiting people who are not in our assembly, or, you know, you might hear something on watching a television show. So anyway, I wanted to share those few little tidbits. Yeah, I would be magnified.
And going back to the situation with my boss, actually, for God to unroll that the way he did, I got to glorify him more, or he was glorified so much more from the standpoint, I wasn't expecting it to come that way. And that was really cool. And he's used my boss. I have gotten so many blessings from God through my boss. God does use him. And I don't understand the connection there, but he does use them. So, I got to glorify him even more. I think there's.
Robin has another comment. The beauty of the commands to love God and one another is that they are actually blessings. God commands love because love is the greatest blessing we can receive. We can think of them as commands. When we think of them as commands, thank you, they seem hard. They are invitations to live life. Eileen says she agrees with that. We need to listen to that still small voice.
Was there any other comments? Yeah, Alan.
I just have a quick question, and you know, you can leave it rhetorical if you want, or you can answer it. But where is the limits of the definition of one another? I mean, is it only in this room?
He, in the Bible, he used neighbor. Is that just simply our next door neighbor? Is it two doors down? Is it a mile and a half away?
And he provided a court outside the temple for everyone.
Right.
Yeah,
we never know how that person that we make contact with is going to be affect us because of God's glory. Kristen?
Along the lines of what you said, Alan, thanks. I think that in our lives, if we don't have a strong relationship with God, then we can't shine for God. If we don't have a strong relationship with our spouse, then we can't set an example. If we don't have a strong relationship with our family, then we can't learn how to have a strong relationship with others, because that's how we're raised and where we're raised all our lives. And then when we have all those relationships, then we can reach out and have an awesomely strong relationship with our church family, as in the 20, 50, 40 people in this room who keep something that we hold very sacred to ourselves, which is Sabbath. And outside of that, once that is stronger, we can reach out to any other Christian that believes in Christ. And outside of that, anyone who doesn't even believe in God. So I don't think that neighbor means anything specific, but I think that if you don't start at the core, you can't build up the outside limits.
Hello. Okay. I only can assume, because it just came in, that you're talking about what a neighbor is. Okay. And it has something to do with one another. Okay. So based upon that, when another can mean people not just down the street or around the block or down the way, it means someone is looking at you, okay? Especially if he profess to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You put a target on your back. And they want to see what you do. And how you respond to the situation will determine how they choose you as a leader or as a, because you represent a Christian. And a Christian is supposedly more, well, a Christian by definition is those who follow Christ. That's a Christian. A believer is the same thing.
I don't remember who it was that, I think it was back around feast time, made the comment that they were hesitant to go to the store more recently back then. It was because inevitably someone would come up and just start talking to them. And it was one of your grandmas. It was either Mrs. Sarfer or Mary Leedy. And I think it was Mary, right? She made the comment. She says, I don't know what it is about me. She says, people just walk up. And she says, sure enough, I went to the store this week, and this lady come up and just started pouring out her whole life story to me. And it goes back. God says, let your light shine. There is a light. People can see it if we allow it to be seen. Is there another comment?
To comment on what Kristen said, and I agree. I believe it was Robin who said that your comment about the core as neighbors and then going outside from there was very profound, and I agree. Because if you can't open up and share with people directly around you and build them up, how are you even going to begin to build up others? That was a very good comment, Kristen.
About what has happened more recently. You're having trouble with those buttons, aren't you? 3 years ago, Leedy's came back from out west, Scott's Bluff, and for the spring holidays, and said they had an awesome time. And that intrigued me a little bit. And we talked a little bit more, and then the fall feast come around, and we got to spend some time with those people, and I got to know them even better. And I thought, you know, if it's as much, just a tenth of what they're talking about, I want to be part of it. So our family flew out last year, and it was 10 times more than what I expected. And then this year, us and Leedy's and Gonzalo's and most of us here started talking about, well, what if we try doing that? God always magnifies himself. You know, he took a couple people out in Scott's Bluff, and I don't know where they got the idea, and it's been years ago, right? How long they've been doing that? A big handful of years. And then through that, he kind of pricked us a little bit. And I don't know if you've heard, but a couple others have been pricked because of a couple weekends ago here. And they're going to do what they can to start hosting some events in their local areas. He always magnifies himself. His glory is always magnified. I thought there was another comment. No. We went down to Southfield here a handful of weeks ago, and they had a new element in their services that I would like us strongly to consider. They're not... They have the intercessory prayer like we do. They do testimonies like we do. But they had recently started up having an individual from the congregation get up and give them about 7-8 minutes, tell us your life-changing story. And the person that was up that day, I knew him vaguely. What an awesome way to get to know each other a little bit better. This guy talked about his conversion, how he came into the church, how he met his wife, the trials that they went through on their honeymoon, you wouldn't believe, and then up to today. And he did this all in about 7 or 8 minutes. And I didn't know him all that well, so almost everything I heard was really intriguing and fascinating. But then when I got, after services, I got to talk to a couple other people in the congregation that do know him really well. They said, we hadn't heard half of that. And he's fairly outgoing. So I know our services can be extended now pretty easily. But is there any knee-jerk reaction to us starting that up and just kind of going through the whole congregation, one person a week, just take 7-8 minutes and tell your story? No thoughts whatsoever, just... All right, well, consider it. And, you know, I guess we're supposed to meet here, is it next weekend after services? When's Garrett speak? Is it next weekend? The 5th, which is next weekend. Okay, we have somewhat of an informal meeting after services, and it's kind of to debrief from the spring holy days, talk about whether or not we want to do it again for next year. And maybe we can kind of bring this up. What's that? I think it's on the website, I know. Yeah, so don't forget that, 11 a.m. For you that are online, keep that in mind, 11 a.m. is when we'll start next week. If there's nothing else, why don't we sing a couple of songs and fellowship?